are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Pretty short-lived, those cheap price tags we were seeing there, eh?
Are you Canadian?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
No, actually, I don't. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Oh, I was trying to hold it back. I couldn't do it. Timestamp it.
You could have muted. No, we're keeping that sneeze in, you jackass.
Damn it!
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And if I find out that Mason steals it and takes it over to the Wednesday show,
what are you doing?
I am gonna reach through my microphone and punch his balls up his larynx.
Wow. What are you, Draymond?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Tuesday DFS podcast. I am your host, Cameron Miller. With me, as always, on Tuesdays is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Let's win some money.
Yeah, I would like to win some money. I've been on a bit of a cold spell today. I probably shouldn't admit that to the listeners, but it's been a little while for me.
Well, you know, let's break that streak.
I'm looking forward to it. We're both kind of on the fence about this Tuesday slate. There's some things we like, some things, but not a lot of things we hate. I guess I can't even say that. It's very blah on Tuesday.
Yeah, I just usually there's a couple cheap pitching options that I really like, so I can go crazy with my offense. But today is not one of those days, so I feel like you kind of have to spend on pitching, and you're gonna have to find some bargains on the offensive side.
I am just middling when we get to the premier lineups at the end here. I'm just middling with everything. I'm just right down the average on pretty much every position, and it's very strange.
Yeah, I agree.
With that being said, though, we will hop right into those pitching matchups. Leading off the slate for Tuesday, Madison Bumgarner. He's pitching for the Giants. He's at home against Milwaukee, 13,800. Are we paying that price tag for Mad Bum?
I'd like to. I just couldn't do it. I love Mad Bum anywhere, especially at home. He's incredible. Obviously, Milwaukee's not a very good lineup. I just couldn't find a way to afford it. I don't know if you could, but I couldn't. Yeah.
I was right in the middle of the pitching. You know, like I mentioned, I was pretty average everywhere. And he was the only guy I really felt like a desire to try and elevate to, which, you know, I don't like to do that with pitching very often. And I just couldn't. And it was really frustrating today because I found myself with some extra cash just hanging around that I didn't really want to spend anywhere else. But I couldn't make up the difference to get up there.
Yeah, maybe I'll try fiddling around with it later. But, like, my most expensive offensive option right now is $4,000. Like, but
you still couldn't get to Mad Bum.
I don't think it's possible to get Mad Bum in your lineup.
It's really difficult today. You got to really take a gamble. Maybe you can play Nate Eovaldi in Colorado.
Yeah,
or Jorge De La Rosa.
No, it's just like that. Yeah, like, the only way you can afford Bumgarner is if you go cheap with your second pitcher. And I just don't think there are any legitimate cheap options with your second pitcher. I feel like the least you could possibly spend on your second pitcher today is $8,000, and I'm not willing to spend on the $8,000 guys. I'm going higher with my second pitcher this time.
Yeah, I kind of agree with anything below that. Like an option or two in the high 7,000s I'd look at, but not many. But we'll keep trucking along here. Second in price for Tuesday is John Lackey. He's at Washington. Gio Gonzalez, the opposing pitcher here, $11,300. I could have got Lackey in my lineup. I personally didn't do it. Did you find a way to sneak him in? He's been pretty damn good lately.
Yeah, I like him. And he's got, I think, one run allowed in his last 20 innings or so. He's striking out a bunch of guys. I didn't do it. The price is reasonable, and he's been good. But it's not a great matchup. At Washington is okay. But, you know, he's facing a pretty solid pitcher, so not a great chance for a win necessarily. I think there are a couple other pitchers in that price range that are a little bit cheaper that I also like. So I didn't put Lackey in there, but he was close.
Yeah, he wasn't a guy I was really looking at, but I think I've been overlooking how dominant he's been the last few starts here. I didn't quite realize, really, all season with the sub-1 whip, the ERA under 3, the strikeout numbers are very nice. It actually might be something I go back and look at with some money on the plate here, but I do agree with you. At Washington isn't a great matchup, so it'll take some finagling if I want to do it. I don't think I'm going to go that road, but I wouldn't hate the play if anyone gets him in there. Next on the list, we do have a Drew Pomeranz at San Diego, Miami coming in there with Tyler Kohler on the mound, for $10,400. Any interest in Pomeranz?
Yeah, definitely have interest. I didn't get him in either, but price is okay. He's really underrated. He's striking out a bunch of guys over a guy in an inning. He's been really good at home. San Diego's a great place to pitch. Pomeranz has been pretty consistent all year long. He's being overlooked, but he's been pretty dominant. And Miami offense is Stanton is just in a tailspin. And then, I love Yelich. He's one of my favorite players, but Pomeranz is a lefty, so that helps. So it's a great matchup for Pomeranz.
Yeah, it really is a nice matchup with Miami coming in. The one concern I have with playing Pomeranz is just the anemic San Diego offense. Not that I think Tyler Kohler's an amazing pitcher or anything like that.
But you're getting his name wrong. It's Tom. Stop calling
him Tom. Oh, it is. It is Tom. My bad. T. Kohler, what else do you want from me? For God's sakes, Eli.
All right, I'm sorry.
I mean, to learn all these people's names. Tom Kohler, my mistake. That's the one thing that concerns me with playing Pomeranz is just the win potential there. Is that a concern for you at all, just given the state of the San Diego offense?
Not really. I mean, they're at home, and Miami's not all that great, especially when Kohler pitches. So the win doesn't concern me with this one.
Okay, fair enough. Next on the list, we have Jake DeGrom, 10,100. He's at home, Pittsburgh coming in, Juan Nicasio on the mound. Did you find a way to get DeGrom into the lineup?
Yeah, I like this one. I don't like, picking pitchers against Pittsburgh because, they're a pretty damn good team and they have a good offense. But DeGrom, the price is solid. He's got three straight quality starts. He had seven or more strikeouts in all three of them. He's been filthy at home, and he's facing Nicasio. So you got to think, great chance for a win, good chance for a bunch of strikeouts. DeGrom rarely has a bad start. I think he's a good value here.
I actually agree with you, and I was with you. I was turned off when I saw Pittsburgh immediately on there, so I just kept going down the list when I was first putting my lineup together. But he's definitely back in consideration for me if I do a second lineup. He's been very consistent lately, and I feel comfortable getting him in there at that price tag. So if I am going to spend over $10,000 on somebody, I think DeGrom's going to be my play, even though that isn't something I do very often. As we continue down the list, I wanted to bring up David Price just briefly here. He's at home. Baltimore coming in, 9,700. I don't like the play today. Is that too expensive for you, given the way Baltimore's hitting the ball right now and that price tag at just under 10 grand?
That was my initial thought as well, because Price, he's been bad at home, and, he hasn't been great this year. But we're still talking about a guy that has elite strikeouts, and the price is pretty decent. And another thing, the Baltimore offense scared me at first, but then I looked at the numbers, and they're bad against lefties, towards the bottom of the majors, which is a little surprising to me. It's not the best matchup in the world, considering it's at Boston, and Price just hasn't been great. But I think for the price and the amount of strikeouts you're going to get, it's perfectly reasonable.
Okay, I mean, it's still something that I think I would tend to stay away from, especially since I do like the matchup and we're talking about a $400 difference. I think you'd probably agree with that also. But I can see someone getting priced into the lineup and having that be a legitimate play. I will bring up, and I think I know the answer to this question, but I just want to bring up Chris Tillman briefly here, the opposing pitcher for Price in this matchup at Boston. Obviously, Boston's offense is dynamic and crushing the ball and murdering everyone. But Chris Tillman has been pretty damn good this year, and he's posted a $7,400 price tag. Any chance you would consider Tillman for Tuesday?
No. At Boston is almost as bad as at Coors.
Yeah. It might be worse.
It really might be, because obviously Boston's lineup is so much better than Colorado. So Tillman's solid, but do we really think he's going to keep this up all year? I don't. But
I don't necessarily think he's going to either. But I was a Tillman detractor pretty much all season long so far, and he's been surprising me. I think the one time I did recommend him was our very first show, and that one worked out okay, but I don't much believe in his stuff, but he keeps surprising me this year. He's not blowing up. He had a really good outing his last time out, but yeah, I agree. I don't think you can get anyone in against Boston right now that's not named like Kershaw, and even then I don't think I'm doing that. So as we move along again here, I know you wanted to touch on Julio Teheran. He's at home, $9,500, and Cincinnati's coming in. Cincinnati playing some better baseball as of late, but you still like this matchup?
Yeah, Teheran is just, he gets constantly underrated. He's had a pretty damn good career. I think it was last year that he was really bad, so people kind of forgot that this guy's really solid. He's really good in strikeouts. I think he gets underrated because he's on a bad team. So people are like, oh, he's never going to get any wins. Well, this might be a time when he does get a win because he's at home against another crappy team. So, and the Reds are 22nd against righties in OPS. So I think this is a great matchup for Tehran. You got to think he's going to get 8 strikeouts or so and probably get a win.
Okay, yeah, I think that's completely reasonable. I will say the guy right underneath him that I prefer here is Taiwan Walker. He's at Tampa Bay with Odorizzi on the mound. He's about sixty-per at 8,900, and I'm a little enamored with Tehran or Walker coming off that last start against Cleveland with the 11 strikeouts and 8 innings. Do you have any interest in Tehran, or you think I'm reaching a little bit with the powerful Tampa Bay Rays offense coming?
Yeah, I know, right? I love Taiwan. We actually talked about him on the main podcast, I think, last week, and I was the one defending him the most. I'm a legit believer in this kid. He's only 23. I think he's great. I'm not going to do it this time because I don't think he's consistent enough to be a good player on the road yet. If it was at home, I'd probably do it, but I'm going to hold off a little bit. I want him, like, before that electric start, he was pretty bad the previous 3 times, so...
He was. There's no doubt about that.
I do think he's really good, and he's going to be a stud. But I'm not doing it this time on the road. I want him to do it a little bit more consistently right now. And I need to see him do it on the road a couple times before I trust him on the road.
Damn it, Eli. This is DFS, and we need to take some gambles. Tell me you want to get Taiwan Walker in your lineup.
Hey, I think the price is decent. If you want to, right now I have DeGrom and Price in my lineup. So yeah. if you want to go a little bit cheaper, I don't really have a problem with Walker. I just trust the other guys a little bit more, and they're not that much more expensive. So I'm not gonna roll with Walker this time. But he's a guy that I'm probably gonna have in my lineup a bunch moving forward.
All right, fair enough. I'm gonna get the jump on you here. So when he takes off this year, I'm gonna say all the credit to me.
Hey, I hope you're right. I hope you play him, and I hope he has a monster game for you.
I am playing him. I will give you that. Wait. Let's see, as we continue down again, I know you wanted to touch on Gio Gonzalez here, opposing the Cubs.
Actually, you wanted to talk about Gio Gonzalez.
I did write down Gio on my list.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not.
Why did I do that?
Yeah, the price is pretty good, 8,000. He does have 71 strikeouts in 71 innings, and it's at home, but it's against the Cubs. I'm not exactly a fan of that.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to say this. I don't really know why I wrote it down. I think I was miscalculating matchup here and didn't realize it. You know what it was, Eli? You know what it was? I saw Chicago, and I was just thinking, man.
Well, you know, it's funny. The last time he pitched, it was against the White Sox, and he had 10 strikeouts. But before that start, he'd been pretty bad, giving up 5 runs, 6 runs, and 7 runs in his previous 3 outings. So while the strikeouts are there, he hasn't been great lately, and it's the Cubs, so I'm going to avoid it.
Yep, I actually agree with you. My bad, listeners, for getting that one on the list. I will make sure I step up my research.
What you should have talked about is your boy Jordan Zimmermann.
Oh, dude, he's next on my list. Yes, yeah. He's next on my list. Now, before we get into this, I just want to let you know, there's going to be some White Sox talk today. Because I'm picking on you a little bit. So I don't want it to go to a dark place, Eli, but I have to ask. 7,900 for Jordan Zimmermann. He's coming off a really bad outing at home against Toronto his last time out, but he's only 7,900, like I mentioned there. The White Sox offense is anemic at best right now, I might say. So I have a hard time not playing Zimmermann at a sub 8,000 price tag. He's had 2 bad starts really this year, and he's been pretty damn good, obviously coming off his worst one of the season, but I think I am more than comfortable throwing him against the White Sox here.
Yeah, I actually disagree. He has in his last 6 starts, he's had 3 or less strikeouts 5 times. This guy doesn't strike anyone out. Look, I agree, the White Sox offense is poop, but he doesn't strike anyone out. He hasn't been great lately. He hasn't pitched into this through 6 innings in 3 straight starts. And it's in Chicago, you know, not a great place to pitch. So I just think there are too many things working against him. The price is fine, but again, no strikeouts. He hasn't been great lately. I'm not doing it.
I can definitely see where you're coming from with the strikeouts. They have been not there this year, but I'm anticipating he's going to turn that around at some point this year. I mean, Jordan Zimmerman's never going to be a 9 per or a strikeout per inning type of guy.
I know, but
he's
like certainly 46 and 71 innings. That's terrible.
I know, man. I mean, but he's certainly a better strikeout or better than, you know, 5 per 9 guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I certainly think he's capable of seven, you know, seven and a half per 9. And he's had a couple of decent strikeout outings. Now, the one concern I do have with him is that he's two starts removed from that groin pull. I think that's having to do with it here. So if you look back at those three starts where he has the three strikeouts, Tampa Bay 5 2/3, that's when the groin pull comes back. He comes back against the White Sox in his first start after the pull goes 5 2/3, and then he does get shelled by Toronto. So I think these last three starts are a little bit misleading because they're surrounding this groin pull. So I think with another shot at the White Sox, I like the price tag. I think I'll see a little bit of elevation in the strikeouts here, and I think get the value out of it against that team. Good. I have you silenced.
Yes, I'm speechless about how bad that offense is right now.
That's what I wanted to hear. All right. Anyone else on the pitching docket that you want to touch on here?
Honestly, no. I like the price on Jaime, but he's been bad lately, so I'm not doing that at 77. Like we already mentioned, Tillman not doing it against Boston. I like Archie Bradley sometimes, but Arizona's not a great place to pitch, and the Dodgers are pretty decent, so I'm not doing that at 7,300. And then there are just no options on the crazy cheap side. I actually think Miguel Gonzalez at 6,500 is not terrible, but I'm not doing that either.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of boom and bust in the Detroit lineup, so I actually think you're not terribly far off with the Miguel Gonzalez. I think he could easily get shelled. I think he could easily go seven and give up like a run and strike out six or nine, somewhere in there. I'm going to bring it up just so you can yell at me.
I like this.
Yeah, just so I can say that I suggested one under $7,000. Not recommending this. This is not for the lighthearted. Doug Fister been okay his last three starts. It's only at St. Louis. He doesn't strike anybody out, but he's $6,600.
How can I say no?
I told you why I did it.
Yes. You know, three straight quality starts. It's interesting. But yeah, I mean, St. Louis is a pretty good offense. I just can't. Lefties just destroy Fister. So I feel like Matt Carpenter's hitting a homer. Like Brandon Moss is hitting a homer. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But the last three starts just struck me. And if you're looking for real cheap, although I will say, I really don't think there's a reason to look really cheap today.
Yeah.
It's just there's not a ton of options that you really love offensive side of the ball, I don't think. But let's continue on here. We'll jump over into the catchers. First name I have here. First name I have here is Brian McCann, tied at the top of the list for $4,200. Oh, I was trying to hold it back. I couldn't do it. Timestamp.
You could have muted. No, we're keeping that sneeze in, you jackass.
Damn it.
Why do you have to lead off? I love how the first hitter you recommend is a lefty facing a lefty. Like, are you just doing this to torment me? Is that what you're doing?
No, hold on. The sneeze interrupted the flow here. I apologize, but I was bringing it up for a couple of reasons. One, he's the highest price catcher on the board, and we usually talk about the number one play of the day. And he's at Colorado. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Ruby De La Rosa was the mound when I suggested Jackie Bradley when he continued that hit streak, had a pretty damn good game.
Oh, I don't even. I have such a bad memory. You're probably right. If that's what you. I don't know.
I think that was the case. But what I'm asking you is I know you hate lefty lefty, but can we agree that Ruby De La Rosa is bad?
Yes, we can also agree. Okay. Coors is a great place to hit, but can we also agree that McCann's been pretty disappointing this year?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, he's not costing you an arm and a leg at 4,200.
No, this is look.
You're gonna play Posey.
I'm not going to play. I was actually going to mention, you know how we used to talk about how, like, you always play Posey no matter the price? I'm not on that train anymore. I love him. He's one of my favorite players. And obviously Garza, making his first start of the year, he's probably going to get shelled, so Posey is probably a decent play. But, you know, Posey hasn't really been Posey this year. I mean, no. Buster Posey doesn't hit 250.
I haven't played him in weeks. I mean, literal weeks. Yeah. I haven't gotten him into a
good, because he hasn't done shit in weeks, so. Yeah. I love him, and this is probably a decent time to play him because Garza, but I'm not doing it. I think there are a couple catchers that are great plays today, and neither of them are Posey or McCann.
All right, fair enough. Then we'll jump down to your first guy on the list here, Evan Gattis, $3,600. Yes. He has Jaime Garcia on the mound. Houston is in St. Louis. Tell me why Evan Gattis.
Evan Gattis destroys lefties, murders them. And like,
is he the Josh Donaldson of lefties? Yes. Hitting lefties?
Yes, exactly. And 3,600, like, see, Gattis is listed as a catcher, which is great, but, like, let's be real. This guy's not a catcher. So, like, I feel like you're getting a first baseman at a catcher price, and he kills lefties. So I just love Gattis at 3,600 for your catcher. I just think it's maybe my favorite play on the board. I actually kind of like Jaime Garcia, but he hasn't been good lately. Gaz can take any lefty deep. I'm very excited about this play.
So favorite play on the board, any position, or are you talking about a catcher here?
I think it might be my favorite play on the board, period.
Oh, wow. That is a bold statement. We might have to reapproach this subject and make you make some kind of bet on that.
All right.
Fair enough. Good, Eli. Good. We'll do it then. One guy I'll bring up to you here is Matt Wieters. He's my relatively cheap option for $3,000 here. I know probably on the mound, but Wieters coming off a pretty nice game over the weekend against Toronto, and he's had a couple. He's been fairly steady outside of a couple games here in the last week and a half. So I felt comfortable getting him in there at that price tag. I really didn't like a lot of my catching options. You're kind of selling me on Gattis here. I like it when you tell me number one play on the board. So I might have to react that, but do you have any interest in Wieters, or am I a little crazy with price on the mound?
I actually thought about putting Wieters in. I thought it's a good price for one of the better hitting catchers in baseball. He's got a lot of success off price, not in the power department, but he hits him for a really good average, and it's a really big sample size there. But I just love the Gattis play too much to do it. But I really do. I think Wieters might be my second or third favorite catcher today. Yeah, I like it. Yeah,
I'm always happy when I can get a. When I can get the approval from you.
Yes.
Another guy you wanted to bring up here was Nick Hundley, $3,400. Obviously, he's at home against the Yankees with Eovaldi on the mound. Why do we like Nick Hundley? Is this Colorado-based?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Hundley's got pretty decent power. It's in Colorado. And Eovaldi can supply a lot of that power with that 98-mile-an-hour straight fastball. So I definitely think Nick Hundley could go deep.
Okay, and then same price tag, another guy you were bringing up here. You brought him up to me a couple of times on the show.
Yeah, I feel like I've liked Yasmani Grandal too much this year. He's been disappointing, but he still has good power. He's a switch hitter who has much better power from the left side, and lefties crush Archie Bradley. So I think the planets have aligned, and this makes sense for a Grandal play. I should probably shy away from him. I've been playing him too much, but I do think this time makes a lot of sense.
Okay, $3,400, same price tag as Hundley. Where are you going today, or for Tuesday?
I think a lot of people are going to pick Hundley because it's in Colorado, so I might go the contrarian way and go Grandal.
Okay, I think you're a little bit outside your gourd there, but that's okay. You're welcome to your opinion. I will see how I leave you alone with easy stuff, and then when I say lefty-lefty, you just like start killing me on the radio. Why is that? Why are you so mean, Eli?
I'm an angry individual. I think you should know this by now. What do you think about what do you think about James McCann at 2,600?
I was gonna bring him up to you. I didn't want you to call me a homer.
No, I kind of like it.
I know, I do too.
He's been like 26.
What is it? 26?
Yeah, it's really cheap. He's been pretty good lately. Miguel Gonzalez is okay, but he's not exactly a stud. So
here's the thing I'll tell you is I want to play in the premier lineup. I had McCann in there, but I told you I had all this leftover money and I didn't know where else to put it. So I was just like, well, screw it. I'll just put Wieters in there. I kind of like it a little better than McCann. Because McCann's usually hitting 7th, 8th in the lineup. You know,
yeah.
I mean, right behind the black hole that is Justin Upton this year. So, I mean, he's having a little trouble hitting or getting guys on base in front. And he is starting to heat up a little bit, though. I mean, the average is only 190, but he's climbing out of a hole. He climbed a hole that was about 060 at one point this year. So, I mean, he actually is heating up.
I wouldn't call that a hole. That's like a crater.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. I think he was at one point like to start like 1-for-20 or something to start the season. It was something silly. But yeah, I was gonna bring it up to you. I don't hate the play. Especially I guess if you do need to save some cash. I will say this though, they keep having Jared Saltalamacchia up there in like the 3,000-3,100 range. It's over. I mean, he had 6 home runs in like the first 13 games or something. I don't think he's playable at all right now. Even if he's in the lineup under any circumstances.
I don't think you're playable.
That's true. I would play Jared Saltalamacchia over me in DFS. I guess I'll give you that. Fair?
Yeah, I'm on board.
All right, cool. Moving on to first base. The first guy I've got written down, I want you to tell me why we love this or why we don't love it is Ortiz. He's the number one play on the board. $5,300. Is he worth that price tag? I know he's been a little bit cooled off about the last week and a half, but still producing obviously this year at an amazing clip.
I mean, he's slugging 667 in his last 10 days, but somehow that actually is being cooled off because he's slugging 708 for the year. Yeah, it's not bad. He is a monster at home, so that's actually not a bad price. But
yeah,
there's a few first basemen I like that are cheap, and when you spend $20,000 on your pitching, it's hard to afford the 5,000-plus guys, so I didn't do it, but if you can afford it, you know, I'm on board there.
He's on board. He's on board, everybody. Feel free to play David Ortiz if you couldn't figure that out for yourself.
Yes.
Next guy on the list. Little surprised by this one. Top Poehler on the mound for Miami, which is who Will Myers will be pitching or hitting against in San Diego here. $5,100. I have a hard time paying $5,100 for anyone hitting in San Diego, and especially if it's like Will Myers.
Yeah.
Even though he's been pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably the hottest hitter in baseball right now, honestly. I'm not going to do it because if you're spending $5,000 at first, maybe you should just go Ortiz. And also, Kohler's actually pretty good against righties. It's the lefties that destroy him. So for that reason, I wouldn't do Myers. Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. As we continue along here, Carlos Santana, $4,300 at KC. They've got Kristen going. You just thinking he's going to get like five walks in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Santana had a two-homer game the other day. Lefties destroy Chris Young, and Santana has much better power from the left side. So this is a perfect matchup for Santana. The price is pretty solid, $4,300. He's one of my favorite first base plays for sure.
All right. I wasn't really a guy I was considering early on, but actually I think it's actually a pretty reasonable play. I don't love anyone Casey's starting rotation right now. So I think he certainly has an opportunity to put up some points there. I want to bring up Eric Hosmer just briefly here. Tomlin on the mound for Cleveland there in KC. Hosmer, $4,100. He's had one big game about the last 2 weeks, but it hasn't, it's been pretty, pretty cool since then, but I kind of like that price tag. Do you like that or not at all or no?
Yeah, I do like the price tag. I mean, I think he's my favorite first baseman in baseball right now. He's just so, so well-rounded. I don't know how many first basemen I'd rather have than him in fantasy in any type of format. I love him. Price is solid. I don't have him in my lineup, but maybe I should.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly quite a few first base plays that I like today, but Hosmer was one that stuck out to me. I kind of like that. Tomlin doesn't strike anybody out, as we were kind of discussing before the podcast, so you're not really worrying about that. Hosmer's a guy who's going to put the ball in play, and certainly he's got 12 homers on the year, so there's a power stroke there also. I want to bring up Chris Davis to you. Yes, I know this is a lefty-lefty, but Chris Davis has like five straight days with a home run. So, in Boston, with Price on the mound for $4,000, Chris Davis.
No.
No? Okay. All right. Do you ever be a circumstance in the history of this podcast or the future of this podcast, I guess I should say, where you will say yes to one of my lefty-lefty recommendations?
Honestly, probably not. Chris Davis is 7-for-23 with no extra base hits against David Price with 11 strikeouts.
All right, hold on. That's over a 300 average, correct?
That's true.
Okay, so not getting dominated by Price.
He's got a 304 slugging off David Price. Get out of here.
Now, I was just going to ask you how many of those at-bats came in. Boston.
I don't know. Okay.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's he's hitting over 300 and he's got the second best ballpark in baseball to hit in. I don't think I'm playing him either because he's $4,000. And like I said, I like Hosmer at 41. And there's a couple guys I know you're going to bring up that are underneath him there that I might play also. But I'm just saying,
interesting? Lefties are actually slugging higher off price than righties are.
Yeah, so eat it, Eli.
I can't
believe
that.
You know what? Eat it. Chris Davis, $4,000 at Boston. And he's coming off five straight homers. You want no part of it.
You either don't want any part of it.
I hate you. I hate you so much right now. You're looking at the numbers and you just can't let me have this one,
no.
Can you? All right, you know what? Fine. I know you want to bring up Brandon Moss. Talk about Brandon Moss while I sulk over here.
Yeah, lefties just destroy Doug Fister. Also, Moss has five home runs in his last 10 games, so he's hot. $4,000 for a power hitting first baseman. I'm on board with this one. I think that he's in my premier lineup right now. Yes, he is. You should also keep an eye on Matt Adams. He's $3,400. Same things apply with him. He's a lefty with power. I don't like Adams nearly as much as Moss, but it's possible Moss will be in the lineup and Adams won't, or the other way around. keep an eye on. Either one I like.
Okay. I'm just scrolling through the first baseman here, so I'm going to bring this name up to you because the price is kind of surprising to
Pujols.
Me. Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman, $2,900. At home against Finnegan. I kind of like that a lot.
Yeah, you would.
Even though he's been not good.
That's a lefty-lefty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Freeman bats lefty, yeah. So I hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm $2,900, Eli. Give it to me.
I will give it to you. Let me look at his splits against lefties. Oh, my God. He's batting better against lefties than he is against righties.
Damn right he is.
Oh, my. What is happening? It's like the Twilight Zone over here.
I've told you this before. DF microcosm of one game. It's one damn game.
Yeah, I know, but you still got it. I mean, if you
play... Look, on the whole, yeah, I completely get it. But I think you have to look at talent versus talent at some point. Now, I'm not going to argue the price of Davis one with it. You know, that can go either way. Price is obviously very good, but Chris Davis is obviously very hot. But if you don't want to go that route, I totally get it. But do we think Brandon Finnegan's good? I mean, he had a nice outing his last time out, but is Brandon Finnegan baseball?
No, I'm looking at Freeman's splits from last year. He can't. He's got no power against lefties.
Mm. All right. I just wanted to bring it up. I just saw the price tag. I'm just throwing it out there.
It's interesting, but I wouldn't do it.
All right. All right, there you go. Interesting. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to turn you yet. All right. Second base, anyone else at first you want to touch on before we move there?
Three guys real quick if you're going cheap. Pujols at 3,700. Irvin Santana gets destroyed by righty, so, you know, I don't like Pujols, but for that price against Santana, it's not bad. Adrian Gonzalez for 3,700. I mentioned before, Archie Bradley gets murdered by lefties, and Byung-Ho Park for 3,400. I'm not a big fan of this guy. He's empty power, but he does have power, and for 3,400, maybe you get a homer.
Yeah, or Freddie Freeman for $2,900.
Yeah, or that. Or we could just move straight to second base.
All right, let's move over to second base. Best hitter on the face of the earth right now, Ian Kinsler, is going for $5,500 against your White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a great play. He's red hot, but I can't spend $5,500 for him.
I kind of can't either. It's upsetting to me. I really wanted to get him in, and then I saw the price tag, and I was like, and he's been pretty highly priced at second all year, and rightfully so, but Altuve's sitting there at $5,500.
Yes, he's basically Babe Ruth against lefties.
Jesus Christ, Elon. Who is not Babe Ruth against lefties?
I feel like there are five Babe Ruths versus lefties. Altuve's
there
one,
are.
Donaldson's one.
Who's the we just talked about another one, didn't we?
Gattis.
Yeah, apparently Gattis. All right. We're gonna make the Babe Ruth against lefties lineup one day this year. Every position is going to have
Ian
your
Desmond
favorite.
Can play out center field. Yeah. Altuve is incredible.
Yeah, I know. We don't need to say a whole lot more about Altuve. He's just very good. And I believe who are we looking at? Jaime Garcia on the mound here. All right. So we touched on Kinsler, Altuve, Kipnis, guy you wanted to talk about here. I can't even find. Oh, there he is. $3,900. Chris Young on the mound for KC. What do you like about Kipnis?
Everything. This is my favorite second base play in terms of price. Chris Young is just terrible against lefties. It's awful. This may be the cheapest price I feel like I've seen Kipnis in a while. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like it's a really good price for a second baseman with some pop and a little bit of speed. And a hot team, I think it's a great play.
Fun fact about Jason Kipnis, this is the most expensive he's been since the 5th of the month.
All right, so you basically just... Why do you have to call me out?
Because, you know what? You won't give me anything. You just don't give me anything.
Well, I guess I deserve that. He hasn't been hot lately, Kipnis, but I just really like this price. Again, Chris Young is just so bad against lefties, man.
Yeah. I agree. I really like the Kipnis play also. In fact, I don't think I was able to get... In fact, I know I wasn't able to get Altuve or Kins to the lineups. So I think it's much more reasonable with where you have to spend on pitching on Tuesday. I think it's much more to think about getting Kipnis into your lineup. I do want to bring up Dustin Pedroia real quick for $4,000 at home with Tillman on the mound. I kind of like that play. I'm willing pretty much anyone in the Boston lineup at home these days against damn near anyone on the mound.
Yep,
I think that's
you're not wrong.
Yep. Yeah. So Pedroia, not terrible there. All right, I'm going to let you do it. You said you weren't going to do it, but I'm going to let you do it again. I'm going to let you hang yourself again.
Brian Dozier's Brian back.
All right, tell me what Dozier here. He actually has not been terrible.
No, he's been hot lately. He's slugging 561 in his last 10 games. Yeah, I mean, he's just playing better. I mean, $4,000 for a power speed guy is perfectly reasonable. And also, you know, he's facing a shitty-ass pitcher.
Yeah,
Chastain sucks. I mean, LA is not a great place to hit, granted. I'm not saying do it, but we're getting in back to the territory where you can think about playing Dozier again, especially against lefties.
I hope we get to that point. There was no bigger or no guy tooting the horn louder for Brian Dozier than me last year, and it's been very disappointing. I think I was ranking him in like top 30, top 40 overall players last year. Really, really liked him, and then he just fell off the face of the earth early season. So I like it when Brian Dozier is doing good. I don't think I'm playing him today with the same price as Pedroia. I think I'd have a hard time selling that to myself, but you're right. Chassin does kind of suck, so it might not be a bad idea. And Kipnis is $100 cheaper, so you're gonna make that call?
I'm definitely playing Kipnis.
Okay, all right. Starlin Castro, $3,900, maybe the cheapest player to play in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yes,
De La Rosa stinks. Castro has got two homers in his last 10 games. I feel like Castro's good against lefties. I could be wrong on that one.
You've been wrong quite a bit this episode. Let's just assume he is.
Yeah, I mean,
all
these guys are around the same price. They're all perfectly solid options. I just prefer Kipnis the most of all of them.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It'd be him or Pedroia for me with the guys we just kind of talked about. So we can continue on here. Now I'm just doing it to troll you at this point. Rougned Odor for $4,400 against Eric Sercamp. I know you don't have any interest in that, but Eric Sercamp is bad.
Yeah, not wrong.
I mean, he's not good. And this is what Rougned Odor is, a talented player against a bad pitcher. I understand it's lefty-lefty, but I don't see anything. I do. Yeah, I do. And I just don't see anything wrong with making that play.
Yeah, you're right. If you look at the splits, actually, you know, he's pretty much just as good against lefties, if not a little bit better. And that holds for last year, too. So this is a guy that can handle the stick against lefties. So I don't have a problem with it.
Say you recommend it. Say you like Rougned Odor against Eric Sercamp.
I like it, but I just still think there are enough options that are cheaper that I like better.
Yeah, I can't really argue that. I really do like Pedroia, and I like the Kipnis play. But I would not shy away from playing Odor.
Me neither.
Feeling about. I will propose this. I was looking for a player. Maybe Rick could bring this up. Gattis versus Odor for Tuesday night. I'll take Odor. You take Gattis. More fantasy points.
Done.
Deal. All right. I don't know what we're gonna bet. Maybe we'll fill that in the interim. You lost children to me, so I need to find something more valuable than that. And maybe I'll let you win. And a kid back. We'll see how that works out.
Well, let's move to third and get this pod moving.
All right. I do want to just bring up real briefly
no.
Profars. $3,700, that's all I'm saying, is
not,
relatively
not
cheap.
Good against lefties. Not yet, at
okay,
least.
Okay, fine. All right. Third base. Nolan Arenado, $5,600 with Eovaldi on the mound, and he's at home. Are you willing to pay the price tag?
No.
Yeah, I couldn't find a way to get him in.
Yeah, like I said, I can't afford anyone at $5,000. Although if I am gonna pay $5,000, I'm probably would rather play Carpenter at $5,600.
That was what I was gonna ask.
Yeah,
he's the same.
Crushes lefties. I mean, who's he facing against?
Fister is bad.
Yeah. Fister, yeah. Fister is just wretched against lefties. Carpenter's just God. He's such a solid hitter. Not a ton of power, but enough power that you're perfectly fine spending $5,000 plus for him. He's just such a He got a 1,400 OPS in his last 10 games. My God, he's red hot. He's at 475. I love him. He's just so good.
He is, and I think I agree with you. I didn't think I would say that coming in because I'm just an Arenado slappy most of the time, and at home, Eovaldi with that straight fastball seems like it would go a long, long way. But I kind of am with you here. I think I would take Carpenter if I was spending up there. The good news is I'm not spending up there. So we can get to some of these cheaper guys here in a minute. I do want to touch on Eduardo Nunez just briefly here. Pretty short-lived, those cheap price tags we were seeing there, eh?
Are you Canadian?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
No, actually, I don't.
Eli, pretty short-lived seeing the relatively cheap prices for Eduardo Nunez, was it not?
Yes. I like Eduardo Nunez only against lefties, so no.
Yeah. I'm not saying play him. I'm just surprised he's getting priced up there.
Yeah, no, that's a little ridiculous. Against lefties, it's reasonable to spend $4,900 for him, I suppose, but not against righties. I don't care. I know Chassin sucks, but no, I'm not doing that.
All right. We'll bring him up since we didn't bring him up at first base, but A-Rod getting priced up to $4,500 against De La Rosa in Colorado. Too much money for A-Rod, yes?
Hell yeah. I do like the matchup because it's in Colorado, and I think it's a lefty that he's had success against, but, I mean, it's A-Rod. Like, he hasn't done anything all year for the most part. It does seem like he's turning things around a little bit, but not enough for me to spend $4,500 for him. No way. I mean, it's...
There are options above and below him that I much prefer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Danny Valencia for $4,000.
Love it.
Martin Perez on the mound. Yeah, I know this is one that you're really all over here, so go ahead and tell me why.
All I have to say is that he's hitting .400 with a .435 OBP and an .800 slugging against lefties. He's basically Babe Ruth against lefties.
Okay, so we've got Donaldson at third base. You got to pick. Is it Valencia or Donaldson? You can't have both.
Well, it's definitely Donaldson. Sorry, Valencia.
Okay. All right. Moving on here. Todd Frazier at home against Zimmerman. Obviously, Todd Frazier flashing the power this year with the 19 homers. Been not so good at baseball as of about the last week or so.
You shut your poor mouth. Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying. But go ahead.
Yeah, I do. He's basically the only White Sox you can play right now. Like, legitimately, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't play Abreu. You can't. You can play Lowry maybe against lefties, but like, you can't. Play.
It's pretty sad.
Eanes always a decent play, but Frazier's been underpriced all year. Like, I know he's hitting for a bad average, but you still talk about the major league leader in home runs, I think, and also.
Nah, Trumbo's got 20 now. But,
well, that's poop. Frazier can also steal some bags. He's probably going to have like 15 when the year's over or something like that. So Frazier's great. I do like him a little bit better against lefties, but for 4,000, I'm willing to play him for against anybody, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of am too. I mean, the power's obviously there. That's a great part to hit in and show. And he's getting babbipped like a son of a bitch so far this year. So yes. I'm kind that average is going to be coming up. I mean, I'm not expecting him to turn around, hit 280, anything like that, but I think it'll get into the 240, 250 range.
And he's also walked a lot too, so he's getting on base and, you know, he should score some more runs once this offense picks up at some point.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But Nick Castellanos for $3,800.
Love it.
At the White Sox. Yeah, I kind of love it too, and I am like not a Nick Castellanos fan.
What?
He's been I love
Nick Castellanos. I always loved him, and now I feel like
I never
justified that. Like, he was always a good prospect, just a good hit, not like an elite power hitter or anything like that. Not a guy that draws many walks. I do hate guys that never walk, but he's just a solid hitter, man.
He is, but he wasn't showing that for a few years. He's an abomination at third. the previous 2 years, he's actually looked relatively decent this year. I will go out and say, you know, I was wrong. He's not an elite third baseman, but I was wrong in thinking that he can't even like handle down the position. Like, I was at the point was like, well, what's the difference of having Miguel Cabrera at third? Seriously, like defensively, I didn't really see the difference. But he's improved there. He has cooled off. Obviously, that was going to happen. He was hitting like .350 through the first couple months there. So he's coming down a little bit. But the power is still showing up. Two home runs in his last four games coming into Monday night. We're recording this before that game starts in Chicago. So he's still been holding up from that point. And Gonzalez on the mound for the White Sox, obviously not that scary of a proposition there. So 800 for Castellanos. He might actually be my favorite play at third base.
Oh, child, look, I love Castellanos, but you have to pay for Valencia. 200.
At four.
Valencia is murdering lefties, dude. Just straight murder.
Yeah.
And Martin Perez, I like him, but he's just not that good.
No, he's not. Couple other options here. I know you wanted to talk about Matt Duffy briefly.
Yeah, if you're going crazy cheap for $3,300, I like it. I know Duffy's been disappointing, but I just really like him. And Matt Garza, I just feel like Garza is going to get lit the fuck up. Like, Garza is so bad, and he's coming off, a long layoff. He's going to get destroyed.
Yeah, that's probably true. I did, my cheap option here was Rendon, $3,300.
Yeah, it's decent, but yeah, you don't want to face Lackey, but yeah, it's reasonable.
Right. I think I might actually prefer the Duffy play there, but Rendon, I mean, he hasn't been the player that we thought.
Ooh,
we were going to
see. I didn't notice. Ago, well, actually, I was going to mention this at shortstop. Baez at $3,400.
Oh yeah,
he does hit lefties very well. So I know Gio's decent, but That's a pretty good price.
$3,400.
Yeah.
$3,400. So we'll just say that right now. Then Baez also an option at short. I'm taking him off the list. How you like that?
Swell.
All right. Shortstop. First guy on the price tag here is Xander. Obviously, Xander's having a pretty amazing season,
pretty
hitting almost 360. Yeah, shocking. Wasn't it only about a year ago when everyone was just thinking the bat wasn't going to come along? Isn't that what we were hearing?
Yeah, they were wrong.
Yeah, they were quite wrong. Probably a batting title or two in his future. Hitting 360 here, modest power, Jesus. but certainly has some. Yeah, I know, dude. It's freaking gross. And obviously, a bag or two. Going against Tillman at home here, like we've touched on a couple times, it's hard to look at the $5,000 guys today just based on who you have to go with at pitcher. But if I'm going to pay, it's going to be for Bogarts.
If I'm going to pay, it's actually going to be Seager for me.
Tell me. Oh, this is the Archie Bradley thing.
Yeah, lefties against Bradley, just crush. And it's a great place to hit Arizona. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with Xander. He's terrific. I just think Seager has a slight edge today on matchup.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's completely reasonable. Xander hot over the last three. Seager fairly cold since that breakout in Atlanta, though. As we'll just trucking along here. Francisco Lindor, who we both have professed our undying devotion to a couple times on this podcast recently, coming off a nice game on Sunday with a homer against the Angels. $4,800. Chris Young on the mound. Switch hitter in Lindor. I know you want the lefties in there against Young, right?
Yeah, that's true. I prefer Lindor against lefties, but I guess in this scenario, when you're facing a righty who sucks so bad against lefties, it's a pretty good matchup as well. So it's actually pretty good. What's the price again? 48?
48.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's fine. I just think if you can afford the 48, you got to spend the 400 more on one of the other guys.
Yeah,
Story at five. I think they're all better than Lindor here. But Lindor's great. Right. But yeah.
I just like Francisco Lindor.
I don't blame you.
I hate that we're both going to be dealing with him in the AL Central for about a decade.
That makes two of us.
It is what it is. I'm playing Manny Machado. I don't care anymore. He's always in that shortstop for me.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, I know. I know you think I shouldn't, but he's $4,100.
Yeah, I know the price is terrific, but man, he does not hit lefties. Like, it's shocking.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought he's the guy that would fucking destroy it, but he doesn't. I mean, look, he doesn't hit lefties, and he's facing David Price. Sorry, not doing it.
All right, David Price, we've already documented, hasn't been amazing this year, and he's in Boston. I will take Manny Machado in Boston. I'm rolling the freaking dice for $4,100. I think it's worth it for $1,100 less than the top end guys.
Rolled the snake eyes, man, because this ain't working.
Maybe we should change it. Should we go Gattis versus Machado? You willing to take that one?
Yes, I am.
Damn right you are. I cannot wait for this. All right, Machado versus Gattis. I'm writing it down. I'm carving it into my table, actually.
Oh, I like it.
All right, so I can't wait for this. Tell me why at for $200 less, you want to play Marcus Semien over Manny Machado.
Oh, God, I love Semien. He's slugging 614 versus lefties, so he's really good against lefties. He's also, my biggest complaint about Semien was that he wasn't running, and it seems like he's stepping it up a little bit lately with the running. He's got two steals in his last 10 games. He's got two homers in his last 10 games. I just think he's a great play against lefties, man. And I'm attacking Martin Perez big time. I got three Oakland A's in my lineup right now. That's something I never want to do again, but
This one.
Yes.
This moment in time.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to work this time. Never doing it again.
All right. But this one time. All right. I won't fault you for it. Two guys I want to bring up here just real quickly. Alamedes Diaz and Johnny Peralta, briefer off the DL here. Peralta, $3,300. Diaz, $3,700.
Oh, no.
Fister on the mound. I know we're not dealing with lefties here, but Peralta's been pretty damn good since coming back.
Yeah, no doubt. I just, like, Fister's, like, I know Fister's bad, but, like, he's, like, legitimately good against righties. Like, it's really crazy what Fister's doing splits-wise. So, it's not terrible, but I just think that Semien's a monster for $3,900 in this particular day.
Yeah, and Manny Machado for 41.
Yeah, well, Manny Machado has maybe the worst matchup for him possible, except like Kershaw or Sale or something.
I can't wait for him to hit like two homers tonight. Or on Tuesday. Let me see here. Brandon Crawford, a guy that you're interested in, $700. You're picking on Garza a little bit here as well. Let me hear it. Give me the Crawford argument.
Well, Crawford, he's got no homers his last 10 games, but he's been good otherwise. I just think he's a solid hitter with some power, and Garza sucks.
Really, the Garza sucks.
Yeah, I'm not playing him because it's only a couple hundred more for Semien, but I do think Crawford's a decent play.
All right. Javier Baez, we touched on him for $3,400. Let me ask you this question. Johnny Peralta at 33 or Jimmy Rollins at 32?
Jimmy Rollins doesn't have a job, so...
Oh, does he not? Well, I thought he was on the White Sox.
No.
Wasn't he like the third best hitter on that roster?
Okay, take that back. First of all, he's unemployed right now, rightfully so.
All right, well, let's talk about his replacement.
Yes, let's do it. Tim Anderson, I'm playing... He's batting leadoff on Monday, which is crazy to me because he won't draw a walk all year probably. So as much as I love Tim Anderson, he should not be batting leadoff. But Robin Ventura makes horrible lineups, so lo and behold, Tim Anderson in the leadoff spot. So if Anderson's $2,000 for Tuesday. So if he's in the leadoff spot for $2,000, I don't care if he's facing Kershaw. I mean, that's something you got to at least consider.
Yeah, I actually agree with you here. I wasn't even really considering as an option. I kind of figured he'd just be in like the 3,000 to 3,500 range, the prospect coming up here. But at $2,000, I mean, he's got Zimmerman on the mound. Zimmerman, I mean, I kind of like him in that game, but he has been shaky the last three times out. Obviously, Anderson has speed to kill if he gets on base here a couple times. I don't think anyone in that lineup's going to score him, but hey, that's, for $2,000, roll the dice.
Yep.
Is Eaton batting second?
He is batting second on Monday. Yep, it's Anderson and Eaton. And I like how they have... I
actually kind of like that.
It's interesting, but...
I'm not saying I like Tim Anderson at the top, but if Anderson's at the top, I'm glad that Eaton's hitting behind
him. Yeah, no
him,
doubt.
Is what I'm...
My problem is that Anderson's batting leadoff. They got their DH batting last. Now, granted, he stinks, but like the fact that they have a DH batting last means they need a better DH. And also... They got Melky batting before Frazier. It's like, why is Frazier batting fifth? Like, my God, get him more at bats. Like, so dumb.
They're trying to get like the one guy in the lineup who can get on base in front of him so he can hit one of his 20 homers.
I just saw a tweet from one of the White Sox beat writers that Adam Eaton is now the ninth different number two hitter the White Sox have had this year. Rollins batted ninth 31 times, Austin Jackson 11 times, Abreu 7, Saladino 7. That's disgusting. Melky 3 times, Carlos Sanchez twice, Jason Coates 1, Brett Laurie 1, Adam Eaton 1. I mean, this is just so dumb. I am so angry. You know what's funny? No, I fucking hate this team. Can we move on to the outfield, please?
No, I just want... It was so funny like 3 weeks ago when you just absolutely loved this team.
Yeah, well, now I'm not even mad. I mean, obviously the offense bums me out, but I'm just like mad at Quintana and Sale. They were like... They're like 1-8 in their last 9 Quintana and Sale starts. Like that's not gonna fly, man.
No, and Sale lost to Mike Pelfrey.
You know what's funny? They're facing again in a couple days. So if that happens, again,
I know.
If that happens again, I may hunt you down and murder you. Just so you know.
Oh, dude, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I mean, just for everything to be the world, that's gonna happen. All right, jumping over to the outfield here. Let's just start at the tippy top. You willing to pay 55 for Cargo against Eovaldi?
Yes. Yeah, no. That's fine. He's not my favorite crazy expensive outfield play, but if you can afford it, fine. I just don't see how you're going to be able to.
I did get one expensive player into my offense. I wound up playing the guy second on the price list. He bets at 54.
No.
I know. I kind of think I'm going to be changing that.
Look, Mookie's incredible. And in Boston, you know, everyone on that team is just insane in Boston. So perfectly reasonable. I just prefer Ian Desmond if you're going to go crazy expensive in the outfield. He is red hot and he crushes lefties. He's slugging 600 against lefties. And Eric Sercamp is a bad lefty. So that's just a recipe for a combo meal from Ian Desmond.
Eric Sercamp. He's on a major league roster, Eli.
Former White Sox legend, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not a legend.
What did he do there? Anything?
He was a reliever for a brief period of time, and he was whatever.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Huh. good for him.
Yeah.
Charlie Blackman against Eovaldi for 4,900. Does that interest
you? I love Charlie Blackman.
I do too. I kind of like
He hasn't
this.
Been – he's been okay this year. He's not running as much because I just feel like he's been banged up all year. The power's okay. I don't – it's fine. I'm not going to do it.
He's drawing walks too, though. Like, I don't know.
Look,
I mean,
he's a really solid player, and he can give you a little bit of everything. I just think he's not quite the Charlie Blackman that we've come to know and love lately.
Yeah, I guess I agree with you there. Trout with the bruise on the thumb for five grand. Any chance you can play him there?
No.
I just wanted to touch on
it's,
him.
Yeah. It's a bad place to hit, and, you know, he could be affected power-wise with that thumb. So I'd say wait till it's Mike Trout returns to Mike Troutness before putting him back in your lineup. But, you know, he's incredible.
Yep, absolutely. $4,500, 20 home runs, price on the mound. This is not a lefty-lefty. Any interest for Trumbo? I just cannot believe how good Mark Trumbo's been this year. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Man, 20 homers? Shit.
I know, dude. 20 homers, and he's not. It's not even like he's cratering the average. He's not even Frazier-ing it. You know what I mean?
Hey, why you gotta take shots? We've moved on. I've already taken enough shots at the White Sox. I don't need you taking shots, too.
It's just,
I haven't
it's
said just, anything negative about the Tigers on this entire podcast.
Well, it's hard to say anything negative,
about the Rays. Like, I've been like a gentleman on this podcast, and you're being a complete dick.
Yeah, that's probably fair. You haven't been a gentleman. You've been harassing me about the lefty-lefty thing again.
That's true. Trumbo's hitting 185 against lefties. He does have a lot of power against lefties, so he's completely selling out of pairs. The price is, pretty good, but
I know. Like,
I'm not doing it. I'm not attacking David Price.
All right. I think that's completely fair. One of the few guys we actually had an agreement on when we were to the list here was Nelson Cruz for 4,100. We both kind of like this play against Odorizzi.
Odorizzi.
I just like the price more than anything.
Yeah, the price is really good, and Odorizzi is actually bad against righties and good against lefties. It makes no sense to me, but I guess that's what's going on, so... Yeah, I'm good power for 4,100 against a guy struggling against righties. I like it.
All right, Springer been fairly pedestrian lately, but I know he's a play that you like for Tuesday.
Yeah, I really tried to get him in my lineup, and sadly I couldn't afford a $4,400 Springer. That's what happens when you spend all your money in pitching. He's slugging 520 against lefties, a good power speed combo. He has been electric the last 10 days, but he was hot before that. Jaime's been struggling. I just think it's a good day to put Springer in your lineup.
All right. I kind of like Steven Piscotty, righty against Pfister. I know we've documented this as well.
No.
4,200. Okay. It's Doug, for the love of God, it's Doug Pfister. Come on.
I'm obsessed with Piscotty, but he's Babe Ruth against lefties, not against righties.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
it's true, though.
I need a minute to recover here, so I'm gonna let you run off a couple of your.
He's
cheap
slugging .415 against righties and .679 against lefties.
Okay, I get it. He's a lefty killer. I said Eli. He's still a good player, and Doug Pfister is not good at baseball.
Mm.
Actually, he's been relatively decent the last three starts, but in general, he is not good at baseball. We just have very different approaches to this game. I just have more of a practical.
I just
look
think it's a crazy day to play Piscotty because he's. I mean, he doesn't slug well against righties, and righties don't hit Pfister at all. Like, it's just doesn't make sense. I know the price seems reasonable for a good hitter, but...
What is not hitting... What is righties not hitting him at all? What is he doing against righties this year?
I don't know.
Oh. Am I missing it?
Oh, you mean...
I mean, is it, like, something ridiculous, like a 100 average against or something silly?
Well, it's not that silly. I will bring up the splits right now. They're really shocking.
All right. All right. I'm actually interested to know... While you're doing that, we'll bring up a couple other guys here. Lorenzo Cain has been not good lately, but he is going for $3,000.
Yeah, I thought it was 3,300 for Cain, right?
Was it 33?
Yeah, like we mentioned Tolman. Tolman's been somehow 8-1 with a good ERA, but he doesn't strike anyone out. And obviously Cain's this cheap because he hasn't been good lately. He's got no homers and no steals in his last 10 games. But, I mean, he does have 8 homers and 6 steals this year and hitting for a good average. So... It's a great time to be playing Cain if you can. It's a cheap option. He could break out.
Yeah, I think that's completely reasonable. I'm not going to chastise you about that pick at all, Eli, like you've done to me this entire podcast.
Oh, come on. All right, back to Doug Pfister. This is insane.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm actually interested now.
All right, so lefties are destroying him. 291 average, 517 slug. But righties, 189 average and a 270 slug.
Oh my God.
Righties don't hit this guy.
I was expecting it to be bad. I wasn't expecting it to be catastrophic. All right. I feel a little bit better. You justifying it to me now. Let me see here. Mazzara's got lefty. This is Eric Sirkamp again. Eric Sirkamp is not bad. He's 300. I think I might have him in a lineup or two. Are you going to yell at me for that?
Yeah, I am going to yell at you because I love Mazzara, right, but he's got no steals on the air. So you got to. He's just like a solid hitter with a little bit of power. But against lefties, he's a decent hitter with no power. Like, he's slugging 329 against lefties. You just can't do it. 552 against righties. So love him against righties, hate him against lefties.
All right, fair enough. Eric Sirkamp, still bad.
Yep.
Ryan Braun,
still a White
36.
Sox legend. Ryan Braun for 36. I actually have him in my lineup. Actually, no, I put Kane in there instead.
You're going up against Mad Bum with Braun.
No, yeah, I took him out for Lorenzo. Okay. Yeah, we mentioned how most people are probably spending a lot of money for pitching, so you got to have to go the cheap route at some of the offensive positions. And sometimes I like to go with the cheap studs against great pitchers, and I think this is one of those cases where it does make some sense for Braun. He does hit lefties well. He's got some success against Bumgarner, so it makes some sense to me.
Okay. I mean, I respect your opinion as a legitimate fantasy analyst. I'd really lie. I respect your opinion. All right. Jock Peterson, another guy that you're kind of interested in here.
Yeah. Lefties kill Archie Bradley, as I mentioned before. Peterson's got, it seems like he's running more lately. He's got some pop too. He's really inconsistent, but he's a guy that can have a monster game at any point. So I kind of like to play at 39.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't have any issues with that. The last guy I'm going to bring up before I let you take over here, it's kind of hit or miss, actually, with this one. But Cameron Maben's been pretty good since he's gotten off the DL here. He did have another steal in that last game against the Yankees. The one issue here is he's been battling like a wrist contusion type thing. So it hasn't looked as good recently, but he's still been pretty steady. And he has a lockdown on the two-hole in the Tigers lineup. So he's got some really good run scoring potential there as well, and still hitting for a good average. And he's only 3,700 against Gonzalez for the so I don't hate that play. I just wish the wrist was fully healthy.
Yeah, it's fine. I just Maben's been good, obviously, but he just doesn't have a lot of power.
No, he doesn't.
I do think there are some good lefty righty type splits to exploit in the cheaper outfield spots.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Chris Davis. I hate K-Riz Davis. I've been a little bit wrong on him. I've been shitting on him all year, and perhaps I was a little bit.
Is he one of your three Oakland lineup here?
Yeah. He's slugging 568 against lefties. He's been slumping lately, but he does hit lefties really well. And for a guy with that kind of power for 3,500 against a struggling Martin Perez, it's pretty solid.
All right. Now I want you to tell me, for the same price as Freddie Freeman, Mac Williamson.
Yeah, and you gave me shit before the podcast started about my Mac Williamson love.
I did.
I'm not putting him in my lineup, but if you need to go insanely cheap, the $2,900 price tag.
You put Freddie Freeman at first, and then you go do something else in your outfield. That's what you do.
All right, you don't have to yell, okay? Mac Garza blows. Mac Williamson has some power. I'm just saying if Mac Williamson's in a favorable spot in the order on this day, and you have to go crazy cheap somewhere, consider Mac Williamson. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Fine. I mean, I'm whatever. It is what it is.
Also, a Peter O'Brien for 2,800 is interesting. They just called him up from AAA. He's a power hitter that can't play the field, so that doesn't affect us in DFS. He hit a homer on Sunday. My hit is pretty decent, but in Arizona, O'Brien could definitely hit a homer. Great place to hit.
All right. Anyone else at the outfield before we jump into the premier lineups here?
No.
All right. Eli, that was nice.
No,
that was a good. That
it
was,
wasn't.
No, it was. It was a nice leisurely walk through all the positions for Tuesday. I feel good about it.
I feel
so
good.
We're gonna jump into the
good that you feel good.
Well, good. I'm glad. And we're gonna jump into the premier lineups. But before we do that, our usual promo from officialfantasyrings.com.
That you didn't rewrite yet?
No, I did not rewrite it. I've given up completely on rewriting it. I keep forgetting.
So I think creativity, man.
Hey, I wrote this one originally.
Yeah, it was good the first 13 times we heard it. Now it's getting old.
I don't think it's been that many.
Oh, shows. I think it has, because Justin uses that same promo sometimes too.
So Justin just ripped off my promo.
Yes,
I guess I just gave away the fact that I don't listen to the Wednesday show regularly enough. All right. Anyway, officialfantasyrings.com. Who are officialfantasyrings.com? They are fantasy sports enthusiasts just like you and me, but the geniuses who realize that lugging a trophy or belt all over the place wasn't practical to flaunt your victory. So why not buy a chain ring from officialfantasyrings.com so you can punch your defeated foes in the face and leave an imprint of their shame on their forehead for hours to come. And don't forget to use the promo code FWFB for 10% off at checkout. And Eli, I promise you, before I'm back here next week, I will have a new promo for you.
That means a lot to me.
And if I find out that Mason steals it and takes it over to Wednesday,
what are you doing?
I am gonna reach through my microphone and punch his balls on his larynx.
Wow. What are you, Draymond Green?
Yeah, I am Draymond Green of podcasting. And I want you to take that drop right there.
Yeah, totally. I was actually taking a note that I had to pull that one. All right, let's get to these lineups. We got one running way too long on this podcast.
Yeah, we were really deep. Okay. I'll just go through mine. So for pitching, I have Taijuan Walker and Jordan Zimmermann in there. I guess I should preface this by saying I kind of just wanted to troll you and your White Sox, so I went really Tigers heavy just for fun. I'm probably going to wind up reworking some of this, but I really wanted to just put the knife in and twist. Matt Wieters at catcher. I got Miggy at first, Pedroia at second, Castellanos at third, Machado at short. I almost said it fourth. That would have been embarrassing. And then in the outfield, I have Mookie Betts, Nelson Cruz, and JD Martinez.
Wow. We have zero of the same people. That might be the first time that's ever happened. I don't know. I got the DeGrom, Jacob, DeGrom and David Price combo at pitcher. Gattis at catcher, Babe Ruth of catchers. Brandon Moss at first, Jason Kipnis at second, Danny Valencia at third, Marcus Semien at short. And my outfield is probably going to get reworked, but for now it is Lorenzo Cain, Chris Davis, and I just added Giancarlo Stanton. I'll probably take him out because he's been so goddamn terrible lately. But he does hit lefties pretty well. But yeah, I'm probably going to take Stanton out and rework it.
Yeah, I think there'll be some rework on my end too. But I will stand by this lineup, and I am willing to also put another board bet here on the line.
On who that my lineup on this. Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'm on board with that.
All right, I'm going to make note of that. I have this lineup entered into the moonshot, so I'll leave it in there.
You want to do
a head-to-head or something?
Well, I was going to say, we could do that, but I was going to say maybe like a one-day, like whoever does better has to change their Twitter profile picture for a day, or like at the beginning of next week's pod has to do like a 15-second service announcement about why the other person's better than them or something along those lines.
That service announcement thing sounds like an end-of-season type thing. But
well, we don't know who's going to win that.
Well, yeah. Werner.
Not the route I was going.
All right. Yeah, we will work this out off air. We'll bring the listeners next Tuesday. Also to the listeners, as we wrap up the show here, I do want to apologize for missing our Friday DFS show last week. It was our intention to record it. I'm certainly going to take some of the blame for myself here, but I'm also going to put some of the blame on Mike. Anticipating a 10 o'clock recording time, I was sitting on my couch and I passed out asleep at 10:30. And Mike messaged me at 10:45 after getting back late from softball. So not much of a legitimate excuse for why we didn't record that, except for I just wasn't awake. I apologize.
I'd also like to apologize to listeners. This podcast ran too long. We need to do a better job of trying to get these podcasts to like the 40-minute mark or so. This is going to be the last time this is over an hour. We do apologize. We're going to go more rapid fire moving forward.
Yep, we definitely are. We had that one episode in the 45 range, and we need to get back to that. So with that being said, we will wrap this up now. I'm Cameron Miller. You can follow me on Twitter at CameronMiller00. I host this podcast, obviously, on Tuesdays and usually Fridays with Mike Werner when I'm not sleeping on my couch. Eli, you want to let everyone know what you're up to and where they can find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at EliFWFB, and be sure to check out the Wednesday main show and also the Thursday show with me, Justin, and Chuck.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I promise you I will be back on Friday, and then me and Eli will for you for your Tuesday slate next week.